Welcome everybody to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today we are in the park and it is beautiful, is it not?
Stunning. It's amazing.
And here beside me is Mireille Choquette.
You nailed it, Mireille Choquette.
Hey, I did it. She is the founder, CEO, everything to do with Tomato Wheels. Now, Tomato Wheels used to be some of this stuff. It's not anymore. It's what is in this magical bag here. Okay, so we're going to get into that in a second. But first off, I want to understand from you, the experience you've had as an entrepreneur to date, what would you say would be three key things that every entrepreneur needs to know as an entrepreneur, whether they're starting their journey, the middle of their journey? What do you think every entrepreneur needs to know?
I love this. We're kicking off with a bang, Lance. Okay, three things. Whew. I mean, it's been certainly a journey, and I think pulling from my own experience, the first thing would be going with your gut.
Yeah.
The project of Tomato Wheels the entire time has been intuitively led. And, you know, some people are like, look at this journey and they're like, how do those things even connect? And I'm just like, I literally went with my gut.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things, if you are an entrepreneur and you can really connect to that, because there's so much noise that comes in. So many people have opinions of what's wrong, what's right, from everything from finance to how you run your social media campaigns, right?
Yep.
You got to check in with yourself and go with your gut.
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing.
Okay. Number two.
Number two, humility.
Okay.
You're never going to know it all.
Yeah.
And letting that ego go and asking for help is huge, because you're never going to do it alone. You're not going to be able to. And I think just saying, you know, being okay with being like, I don't know how this works, or I don't know how to do this, and being open to that.
I absolutely love that one, because this is one of the things that everybody seems to be really nervous about, because you feel like you have to know it all, because you are the entrepreneur, you're the boss, you're the one that has this great brilliant idea, whatever that might be. And so there's almost like you put all this extra pressure on yourself, and it's amazing how much help people are willing to give.
Oh, yeah.
If you just ask for it. Yeah. It's really fascinating. Okay.
Entrepreneurs ask.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a hashtag, by the way, if you didn't get that. And the third thing I would say, be open.
Okay. You,
in my experience, you never know where that help is going to come from. And sometimes it comes from the least likely places that you think it's going to.
Yeah.
So being open to learning and just going through your experience and your day, really open to how that's going to show up in your world, is really important. And that's going to take you to the next step.
Yeah, really good. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, love it. Okay, so we're going to circle back to some more questions about entrepreneurship and your journey. But you have this bag full of goodness. Yeah. That we really want to talk about. So what's in the bag?
Okay, so in this bag is a Lambrusco.
Okay, Lambrusco.
Lambrusco.
What is that?
Tomato Wheels Lambrusco. So this is a sparkling red wine.
Okay.
So
look at this.
Here it is.
I love the design. Now take a look at this, everybody. So who designed this?
So I got to work with an incredible local Edmonton artist. Lee Reck.
It's like a Picasso.
It honestly, her work is incredible.
Yeah.
People can find her on Instagram at Lee, L-E-E-R-E, or R, no, K-R-E-K, Lee Reck.
Okay.
So got to work with her. She designed this. It's so fun. It's so cool. But Lambrusco is a sparkling red wine.
Okay.
Very similar to champagne, in the sense of champagne is made from Champagne, the city in France.
Yep.
Lambrusco is made from one region called Emilia-Romagna in Italy.
Okay.
So that's the one region you can find the grape, the Salamino grape, that creates this amazing product.
Cool.
So let's try this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Let's get into this.
Okay, you need a hand opening this, or you got it?
Oh, Lance, please. I mean, this used to be the scariest thing for me as a kid. I did not like at parties when kids pop balloons.
Yeah.
And this was like the worst as an adult. I was like, but you know, as a founder of a booze company, you got to get comfortable popping bottles.
Yeah. So now while you're opening that, one of the things that is really interesting is the journey that you've been on with your business, because this is the final incarnation of really Tomato Wheels.
We hope.
has been a few different things actually over the last little while from when you first started it. And so tell me a little bit about the beginnings of Tomato Wheels and what you were doing to start with.
Well, Lance, there's been some pivots. There's been some pivots, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And you're right. So Tomato Wheels originally started as a Italian spice company.
Okay.
So I created what we called pasta cheaters. So it's different profiles of dried herbs, vegetables, and spices
okay.
for people who couldn't cook. So all they had to do was rehydrate it, and it made epic pasta.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was one of those people. I was basically my target demographic. So through launching that, I was granted a scholarship to go to Italy and cook with the David Chang and get the stamp of approval on those pasta cheaters.
Wow.
And yeah, that it was like,
an experience.
I think when I read the email that I was accepted to the program, I woke up everybody in my building. Like the shriek was like, even I was like, whoa, that was intense. And then as we all know what happened, the pandemic hit. So that experience was ultimately canceled. And the suppliers we were working with in Italy just went dark.
Yeah.
And I was just, I had no idea what to do.
So dark in the sense where they weren't able to supply, and so they weren't answering the supply requests, or
like... Just, we didn't hear from them.
Oh, wow.
So okay. Yeah, that was just like, okay, everything's imploding everywhere. So
yeah.
I just hit a hard pause.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really know what to do, so we'll wait it out. So then I was doing a lot of market research and, okay, how can I pivot this? What should this be? And it intuitively, again, the gut check-in, I was like, should I just move on? That was a quick, fun moment.
Yeah.
But something was like, no, keep going, keep going. So after reading a ton of Amazon reviews, and I wanted this brand to still be something about the kitchen.
Yeah.
I didn't want an ad and just another product to market that, you know, was just adding noise. So reading a ton of Amazon reviews, I found these two products. So yeah. Wooden spoons.
Yes.
Everybody complains that they crack or absorb flavors.
Yeah.
So I was like, how do I do this better?
Okay.
How do I make something functional and well-designed? Acacia wood. So it's one of the hardest woods you can find, made of patio furniture.
Or
patio furniture is made out of it. And it doesn't crack or absorb flavors, but it's really light. So that risotto, all night long, you can stir.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
So designed a risotto spoon and then a slanted spoon. And this has been like the feedback on this has been amazing. Just how it curves in the pan. Everybody goes crazy. And I didn't know it would be that, but here we go. Here we are.
So spices, and you decided then to pivot into... Kitchen utensils.
Oh, and then kitchen towels. Everybody, a million Amazon reviews that kitchen towels don't absorb.
Yeah.
So found, tested a ton of different textiles and found the textile that actually absorbs.
Okay.
So launched some pretty luxury feeling kitchen towels.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so obviously keeping with that whole kitchen theme then.
So I got to learn supply chain, sourcing, building relationships. That was the hardest part. Supply chain into other countries where you don't have relationships. You're building it over Zoom. You're building it over email.
In the middle of a pandemic too, where what's the theme of the pandemic? Supply chain, right?
Exactly.
Challenges. Yeah.
So that when it got to market, I was just so excited about that.
Yeah. So enough of this talk about, you know, entrepreneurship. Let's get to the drinking.
Let's get to it.
Okay. So it's aired out. Is that what you got to do with this or no?
No. It's not? Pour and drink. It's all about those bubbles.
Okay. So to entrepreneurship. Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. It's not too sweet, but sweet enough, right? Where it's... has a little bit of a drier finish to it, a little bit, but nothing too bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be puckered up.
I mean, you're off the heels of a vineyard, so give me your best tasting notes.
Yeah. I'm so bad at that. Yeah. So we were just talking off camera that my family has a little winery down in the Okanagan. And so you would think I might know something about this stuff, but I know how to drink it. That's about it. Okay. Describe it to me. Tell me what I'm supposed to be tasting here.
Yes. So you nailed it. So it's a drier Lambrusco. It is not sweet, but there's a hint of sweetness that you'll get a kind of rush of cold blueberries, fig notes. It's got a little bit of tannin, so you can kind of feel that go up in your cheek a little bit.
Yeah, I love that feeling.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That tartness, but it's just the effervescence of it. Mm-hmm. It just, it's such a, to me, I always get to, it's like raspberries and cream. There's a creme fraiche note at the end that gives that sweetness.
So why is it that I've never heard of this wine before?
That is a great question.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I do in this show, actually, is I ask really good questions.
So, I mean, this is, you know, the market research I was doing when I shot out of bed at 2 a.m. and I was like, I need to launch a wine. And I started doing a lot of market research. And what I found, Lambrusco, I discovered about 10 years ago in Italy. I've been championing it to my network and my friends ever since. I'm, you know, introducing it because I fell in love with it. So when I started researching it, what I realized where it's sitting where Prosecco was about 10 years ago. Some people know about it. Most don't.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, as a marketing background, I was like, gap in the market. Let's go.
Yeah.
So then started obviously my journey of learning about wine and how am I going to launch a wine knowing nothing about it, right? So started listening to different podcasts. An amazing one was by Eric Mercier, Juice Imports. And that's where he was interviewing Brad Royale. He's a sommelier based out of Calgary. So I brought him on the project and his taste is just discerning. I mean, it's incredible. And he's won a ton of awards for wine programs and been in the industry as a professional judge for 15 years. So
he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. And just like... his palate has traveled all over the world, Italy, of course, but France and Spain and, you know, even Japan, right? So the fact that he's been able to taste so many different wines and varieties and come to the table on this project and know his stuff, it was just incredible to work with him.
And so when you bring somebody like that in, is he helping at the winemaking stage then as well to try to get the right notes and everything that he wants to see in it, or how does this work?
So first it was, how do we find a vineyard? And like, can we make Lambrusco in Canada was my question. And it comes from one specific region, Emilia Romagna in Italy. And that's the Salamino grape that creates this. So that's where we started. And together we found a fourth generation vineyard. So family run. And that's what we wanted, something small. And they're so by the book of the natural process and how they do it and holding that tradition.
Yeah.
And when we discovered them, I was like, oh my God, how do we make this happen? And then Brad, yeah, absolutely. So the vineyard would send samples and we would taste them. And one tasting, we bought every single variety available in Canada and blind tasted the samples with what was available.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to make sure the product we were launching was going to be quality.
Yeah.
I was so scared because I'm like, what if we like none of them? Right. Exactly. And we're back to scratch pad zero. But this happened to be both of our favorites.
Oh, wow.
And I was like on the table screaming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So you then line up the winery. You've got an expert, with an expert palate on the team, and you decide, okay, I'm going to start selling this now. Then.
Yeah.
So they're bottling and labeling and everything over there.
Yeah.
You're importing it.
Yeah.
You have to become an agent, I'd imagine, in order to import.
I became an agent. Here? Holy smokers. You want to talk paperwork?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that was the most Alberta thing I've ever said. Holy smokers. It took 6 months of just like back and forth paperwork, understanding, like, I get why, you know, this isn't easy and why not a lot of people do it. But ultimately, once you have that, then you can import your product. So I'm starting in Alberta for a couple of reasons. One, we have the most relaxed liquor bylaws.
Okay.
Two, it's where my network is, right? I've spent, you know, 15 plus years in Alberta.
Yeah.
So I just find this is one of the most supportive cities as well, especially for entrepreneurs and consumers wanting to buy local products.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, my eyes watering from the sun.
No worries at all. So then you get your license and that's just the beginning of probably a lot of the work, right?
Yeah.
So now you're trying to actually get it into the Liquor Control Board.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just get a listing automatically, or how does that work?
Yeah. So you apply once you're an agent and you have a product, you apply and you get your listing, and then the work starts of the sales.
Yeah.
Right. So as a company of one, I wear many hats right now. Right. So sales is one of them. So I get to run around and pour samples and get people's feedback. Right. Yeah. And understand if this is a product they want to shop to their consumers, and understanding who their consumers are.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting journey, because although Tomato Wheels sells to businesses, it's also that educating the consumer about what even a Lambrusco is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I would imagine, just like what you said about the, you know, the predecessor there that was just really hit the market 10 years ago, Prosecco, everybody was having these, every party that I went to, everybody was drinking Prosecco. And so that's what people are going to naturally be thinking of when they see another sparkling, but not in a red, right?
Yeah. So
this is really unique in that sense. So
very.
When you're doing like all the consumer education, what's the plan then? How are you going to really tackle
Well,
that?
Lance, that's where I call you on the phone. We have a combo. But I think what it really comes down to is the number one thing is going to be restaurants.
Yeah.
Because that's where consumers discover a lot of new products.
Yeah.
Right? And then digital marketing. We know the digital space is huge. One of the things I'm learning right now is TikTok.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't have a personal account because I was like, oh my God, I'm too old. I don't know how it works. I tried and I was like, I don't get it.
Wait a minute. Now, I saw your most recent Instagram, though. There was a whole lot of dancing going on
in
that one.
Oh, that is full on me on my first video on TikTok.
Yeah.
That's my first TikTok.
That was? Yeah. That was? Okay, good.
So that now it's, once you post on TikTok, you also post on Instagram. So I spent a whole weekend learning TikTok.
Yeah.
Because that's where a lot of the consumers are, right? And that's where the fun part of this brand is really going to come out, right? And so it's going to be a mix of in real life and the digital component.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a challenge, right? So not only are you in a totally new industry than what you've ever worked within, but it's a whole new category of wine within that industry, right? And so the strategy being restaurants, I love it. I think that's a really good entry point. Are you, and you're doing tastings, is this going to be something where you're going to really go hard in the liquor stores as well, or, and then do all those tastings in all the different type of liquor stores out there, or?
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I got my sights set on Costco.
Yeah.
I love that I even was able to get them on the phone.
Did you really? Yeah.
That's and good. My friends were like, of course you got Costco before you even have a product. But anyway, so we have this call and there I'm explaining what that is, and they were like, okay, so here's how it works. We take 10 SKUs of sparkling, okay? And they explain how many SKUs there are. And I'm like, okay, so no problem, great. And then they're like, and you need to be, in order to get into Costco, you need to be in the top 10% of sales. So you have a lot of consumer education to do. And I was like, okay, so what I'm hearing is we're going to have this conversation in 12 months. And they were like, we love your drive. Call us if you're there. But it's just, it's good to know where you need to be in the market, right? And then I can have a golden star that I'm achieving too.
So, okay, so wait a minute. When they're saying you need to be in the top 10%, is that 10% for the Lambruscos?
Did
I say that right?
Tomato Wheels Lambrusco is selling at the top 10% of liquor in Alberta.
Of all?
Can be in Costco.
So it's not just the red sparklings.
No. Like you're profitable at that.
Okay, so this is where you got to go back and you got to go, yeah, but wait a minute though. This is the number going to be the number one red sparkling. So like you want a little bit of this action, you're going to have to get in early.
Right. I mean, like my goal, and I know this sounds lofty, but my goal is that Tomato Wheels is synonymous with Lambrusco.
Yeah. Okay, so that leads me to another question then, just in terms of the business model then. So you have one SKU right now, and you're saying that you want to be known for this particular SKU. Are you thinking there will be multiple SKUs? What's going to happen here? Because I'd imagine one SKU could be somewhat limiting, right?
Yes, I do. Okay. There is.
There is. All right.
I want to launch it's a very, very bold Lambrusco, and it's not going to be for everybody, right? It's very, when I tried it, it is almost unpalatable.
Oh.
So it's for the sommelier. It's for the like hardcore wine connoisseur.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I liked it, but I didn't, right? So I know that I'm like, I could develop a palate for it because it's just so intense.
Yeah.
But the more you kind of drink it, the more you settle into it.
Yeah.
So that is one I definitely want to bring to market. And then, so post-war, most people remember Lambrusco from like the 50s to the 70s. It hit the North American market and it was very, very sweet. It was the sweet Lambrusco. Okay. So some people who remember that kind of chuckle and they're like, oh, Lambrusco.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think of it as this like sweet dessert little.
Yeah.
But it has evolved so much and there's so many varieties. So the one I do, the other one I want to bring to market is kind of an ode to the 70s and that time period where it's very gentle. It's very sweet. It's like a sun kiss.
Ah,
so there is a couple things I do want to bring, but let's test it with this one first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So in terms of your biggest challenge that you see for the growth over the next 12 months, what do you think that's going to be? Is that going to be consumer education or is that going to be more getting the distribution nailed down, like into, like obviously not through the liquor control board, but actually getting the restaurants and the liquor stores signed up?
When I look at the next 12 months and just look at how the product has been received so far, my biggest challenge is going to be freight and getting enough product to market.
Yeah. So you have supply to buy enough volume in order to actually make it economical to bring it over, which means you're taking a big risk on the inventory.
And just the time to get it over right now with the shipping
on
the boat. I'm checking every day and I'm like, that boat doesn't look like it's moved on the ocean too much today. Right.
So, and speaking of which, when is this actually going to be here approximately?
September 15th.
Okay.
Is the ETA.
September 15th.
Yes. Okay.
So, and is there, do you have some liquor stores and stuff that we can announce right now as being people who are carrying it so people can go and try it once it hits?
When's this airing?
Yeah, this will be airing in about a week.
Okay. So, I can say, I met with Divine Wines and they're super excited, to carry the product, and the Fairmont is going to be carrying the product. So, what I know so far.
Awesome.
So those are two that are.
So that's where you can check it out. Now I want to just circle back to some of the journey aspect of it. And so we were talking about the pivoting earlier on. So it was the spices and then it was into some of the kitchen goods, right? And now it's into the wine. Yeah. And so that flexibility, the way that you've evolved this, that takes a lot of, well, persistence, one, right? Because you kept hitting roadblocks.
Yeah.
But then just like creativity in the way that you kept reinventing. So has this come kind of natural to you where it's like, you know, a roadblock pops up and you're just like, move out of the way. I got something else.
Pivot.
Yeah. Like, or how was that experience for you as an entrepreneur as you kept, you know, you had this idea and then the vision had to change. And then, you know, just out of all the circumstances and challenges that you had, how did you keep positive? And is this just natural or...
Well, I'll tell you a story. So when I was a kid, I remember my most loathed question was when adults were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all my friends were like, a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a mathematician. And I was just like, quick, make something up so they think I know, right? Yeah. And I never knew. And they all always had these talents that were just a natural evolution. So I'd always say to my mom, I'd be like, but what are my talents? Like, I was so worried and in a hurry. And she was like, Ray, you're the most creative child I've ever met. And I'm like, Mom, you can't do anything with creativity, right? Like, what kind of job is that going to get me? And it was so funny. So looking back now, what I would tell myself is like, chill out, kid, relax. Yeah. Entrepreneurship isn't in your language yet, but creativity is absolutely going to be the through line for you there.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't realize, obviously as a kid, that could be evolve into and lead me to my career. So I think just, I've always let go of control when it's come to this brand and this and creating this. And, you know, there's so many times where if, you know, I was trying to force something where my ego would have taken control and I would have tried to be like, oh God, but I was like, who's really watching? Who really cares? There's 1,000 other people on social media trying to do things. Like, you know, I'm out in the ring trying something. If someone's got an opinion and they're not in that ring with me, get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, it's the fact that I've just been able to take a risk and surround myself with really supportive people.
So I really want to dig in or just emphasize what you just said there, just about you're in there doing it, but there's a thousand other people or hundreds of thousands, millions of people in social media doing their different things and so on. And so you put yourself out there. And this is one of the things I think that a lot of people are really scared about doing, because it's like, oh, what if I fail? What if somebody sees me going down the road of one thing and then I pivoted to this other thing? Well, I can't, because I'm committed to this now. Right. And I really love what you said there, just in terms of like, who cares? Nobody's going to really notice anyway. And so that's a really powerful statement and a really powerful belief, I think, as well, because I think that holds back a lot of us. Where, and again, very tied to the ego, like you said, very, very much tied to the ego. So I really love that statement that you made there. So now, if you were to be able to pen yourself a letter, okay, so to the lady who was doing, you know, the spices and then it was pivoting and stuff, or maybe even a younger self of yours, what would that letter say? What would you say to yourself if you could send that back in time?
Oh man, I think it would just be that of embrace your creativity and relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
Right? Your talents will shine in time. And, you know, to my 6-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old self, you don't need to know what you're going to do in 30 years from now, because chances are it's going to change a million times.
Yeah.
I went through geology at one point. Wrong career for me, but at the time, that's the direction I thought I was going to go, right? So if someone was holding me to, hey, I thought you were a hydrogeologist, right? I'd be like, well, you know, things happen, changes happen, growth.
Yeah.
So I think just what I would tell myself is relax. Life is going to lead you down the road it's supposed to. Enjoy the journey.
So here's a question for you.
Lay it on me.
If we had $1 million, right? $1 million that you could spend on your business at this point of your business's trajectory, what would you do differently than what you kind of have planned right now?
Oh my gosh, what would I do different? I don't think anything. I would just hit the market a lot harder and a lot faster with the marketing abilities, right? Because that's what it comes down to now, is cutting through that noise. And a lot of that is comes down to the digital space and getting that screen time in front of people where we all spend our time.
That's right. Yeah. So there you heard it here first. If you have $1 million that you ought to spend it on marketing.
Right? And I only say that because my entire career is marketing. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd probably talk to some SEO guys and stuff like that.
For sure. We could definitely help you out with spending $1 million. Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem at all. Okay. So I'm also curious about, you know, the lifestyle of an entrepreneur. What do you consider to be, you know, the biggest challenges from a personal standpoint and also the biggest rewards of being an entrepreneur?
Huh, that's interesting. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still in both worlds. Like, technically, I've left my very corporate career, which was super cool, and part of the whole pandemic created that shift. But I'm still, this is not full-time yet. Hopefully, eventually it is.
Yep.
But I'm still kind of in both of those worlds. But I think from the last 3 years of going through launching this brand, I've done a really great job at seeking out other entrepreneurs and being in those groups, right? So we're learning from each other, because, you know, so often you hear, oh, it's so lonely, but you got to put yourself out there. You got to find your community and your group that are doing something similar. So in my experience, I haven't felt lonely. I've always had someone to call and vice versa. And I'm very much aware of, you know, there's people who are just starting where I was 3 years ago, and I make a conscious decision to give my time and energy to people who approach me or ask me questions, because I was there once and like, how do I do this? Right. And if we can all help each other, we're always elevating each other, which is an incredible feeling to help someone else and then see them succeed.
Yeah. To me, it's actually the most selfish thing that one can ever do, is to help somebody else, because you get that incredible feeling, right?
It's a two-way street.
Yeah. It completely is. I love that. Yeah. Well, this has been just such a delightful experience. I absolutely love the drinks. This is going to be probably, one of my new favorites. So I can't wait.
Stop!
No, I'm serious. I can't wait for this to hit the market, because, this is really, really good. So for those of you who have never, ever tried a Lambrusco, this is something that you definitely need to try. For those people who are actually on the, you know, like the whites a little bit more, the sparkling whites and so on, I think this is still going to be really quite pleasing for you. So definitely give it a shot, even though it's a red. And for those red lovers out there, I mean, this is just a delightful drink for a beautiful sunny day, you know, like patio season and so on. You couldn't go wrong.
Oh, it is. And like one of the things I say about this is an 8 days a week kind of wine.
Yeah, 8 days.
And it's quintessential food wine in Italy, right? Yeah. So whether it's brunch or a nightcap, they're drinking it throughout. So it kind of goes with everything, which is pretty great for launching a product this way.
Yeah. So, and it's really interesting you said that the 8 days a week thing, because so my ex-wife is Italian, and her family always made lots and lots of red wines.
Yeah.
But her family oftentimes, because I think they would just be hammered if they drank it like completely, you know, the uncut.
Yes.
Always. They would always, like in the afternoons and through the midday and stuff, they would pour a little bit of ginger ale or something like that into it, right? Or a sparkling, like a soda water or something like that, just to give a little bit of sparkle to it. And so they were recreating or kind of mocking up something like this, but obviously not like this because it's all that extra sugar and shit.
But I get it. When I was about 5 years ago, we were camping and only had red wine.
Yeah.
How do you drink red wine during the day when you're camping and it's sunny?
Yeah.
So I started bootlegging my own homemade camping Lambrusco, literally club soda and red wine. Yeah. And everybody was on the homemade Lambrusco train.
Right.
So I was making it before I was making it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it totally is something that it really does make it an easy drinking wine for at any point of the day, really. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Well, we're going to enjoy the rest of this bottle. But if you enjoyed this episode, check out our archives over at amplifyyourbusiness.ca. And if you also really enjoy listening to it on the podcast, you can find us anywhere that, all your favorite podcasting platforms, just search Amplify Your Business and you're going to find all of our archives there as well as the future episodes. And if you happen to be an entrepreneur with an interesting story, then I definitely welcome you to go over to our website, amplifyyourbusiness.ca, and you're going to find an application form there to be a future guest of the show. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come down to
thank
the park.
You.
And, you know, I love drinking on this show. I really, truly do. And so this is like
smash made in heaven.
Best of all the worlds. We got the sunshine and everything else. It's just so wonderful.
Amazing.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, and I should actually, before we go, how do they find Tomato Wheels? I forgot to do that.
Okay. So. At Tomato Wheels on TikTok.
Yep.
No, just kidding. At Tomato Wheels on Instagram.
Okay.
At Marais of Sun.
Okay.
Get it, Marais of
Sun. Yeah, yeah. I love
name.
It. Yeah.
On TikTok. And then at Tomato Wheels on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. And a website? Do you have a website?
Yes. TomatoWheels.com. So on the website, you'll be able to find which retailers are going to be holding, carrying our products at TomatoWheels.com.
Okay. Awesome. You heard it here. Check it out. September 15th. Go out, buy lots of this stuff so we can get more containers coming over and really have a good party
Amazing.
This fall.
Okay. You're the best.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Have a prosperous day. And that's a wrap.
You're so good. You're right natural.
There. No, I had lots of fumbles.